This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And not to put too fine a point on it, but sexism in Parliament has been an issue for a long time. But it came back to the spotlight this week during this sitting because of one particular exchange.
Yes. So this week in the Day One, we heard Hannah Yeo, Kasturi Pato and Teoni Ching make multiple requests for a time extension to allow for Science, Technology and Innovation Minister Khairi Jamaluddin to answer questions about the National Vaccination Plan. That was the day that he went there and gave a full briefing, a full rundown of everything. They were, however, muted by the Day One Rakyat Speaker while making these requests. They were told to keep quiet. Here's a clip from that incident.
Kerajaan boleh
saya
bawa
cadangkan
usul
menteri
untuk
bawa
lanjutkan
usul.
Masa.
Boleh kita selamatkan masa. Yang bawa menteri tolong sambung. Tak ada lagi pencelahan, saya tak akan benarkan. Kerana tak cukup masa.
Itu saya setuju.
Kita akan sokong usul. Jangan takut.
Nak selamatkan nyawa, bukan selamatkan masa.
Datuk Speaker.
Tolong diam boleh tak? Tolong diam boleh?
That was Day One Rakyat Speaker Dato' Azhar Azizan Harun telling MP Kasturi Pato to keep quiet amid requests for a time extension. Also Hannah Yeo as well, because they were both sort of asking for extended time. And I wanted to point out, we said he told them to keep quiet, but really, when you say diam, it's a little bit more than just that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a much more pointed remark. It's generally much more, I would say it's ruder and more direct, really.
And it's the boleh tak after that. I don't know, the whole exchange.
Yes, so we wanted to point that out just in case you don't speak Bahasa, right? And if you're listening to that clip, the nuance might not exactly be there. But I think that there are a few things to take away from this. First is the tone that the speaker infuses into the proceedings. Because, of course, it's one thing, and I'm not forgiving it, but it's one thing for MPs to be cantankerous and rude with one another. That is almost the nature of Malaysian Parliament, partly because of, you know, you're sitting on opposite sides, you're trying to shout each other down. Yes, okay. But the Speaker of the House, generally speaking, one of the roles is to set the tone of conduct, really, for how it is that we are supposed to behave or how it is that MPs are supposed to behave. And in essence, I think MPs generally take a leaf from the book of the Speaker. So I think it is worth noting, first and foremost, that in this case, the fact that it came from the Speaker, the fact that that statement came in that direction is important.
And it's not coming in a space where we're not used to seeing female MPs, even in the past, being treated less than respect, right? Because if we just look back at the multiple incidences that we've seen happen in Parliament over the years, I mean, going all the way back to, let's see, I'm sure this has happened for a while, but some of the ones, the standouts, as it were, of course, is the remark in 2007 directed at Batu Gajah MP Fong Po Kwan back at the time when they were talking about the Parliament roofs leaking. And I remember Kinabatangan MP Bong Mukhtar talking about, well, essentially making a pun between the word leak and menstrual cycles. That wasn't his only time saying something like that.
He's a repeat offender.
In 2011, he talked about women drivers and essentially said, some women drivers drive slowly, they seem oblivious to traffic. When you honk at them, they get agitated and some will even show hand gestures. Specifically women, apparently, because this is apparently something only women do. Then most recently, in 2020, of course, we had Kasturi Pato again talking about the lack of representation, female representation in select committees, to which Baling MP Abdul Aziz basically responded by saying something quite unpleasant about the colour of her skin.
And all of which to say, again, this is set against the backdrop of this constant question of participation of women in politics. If we go back to the admittedly short-lived period of Pakatan Harapan's administration, one of the main things that they talked about in their manifesto that was pushed was this idea of increasing the number of female MPs, having more women in cabinet, just generally increasing female participation in politics. And the thing is, Parliament is broadcast and live streamed everywhere. You know, the entirety of it, fundamentally, you can watch it all day long if you wanted to. And this week, at least, it seems a lot of people did. But with that kind of exposure and with Parliament holding the place that it is supposed to hold in our political discourse, when you see women being treated like this, I think it does have a knock-on effect. And then you ask, oh, how come, you know, people don't want to get involved in politics? And it's, you know, maybe after seeing this sort of treatment, why would I want to, right? I would be better off taking my talents elsewhere, changing Malaysia in the private sector, doing other things. And I do think that it is all off a piece and has to be viewed that way.
Actually, last year when that happened to Kasturi Pato, we spoke to her on the Daily Digest and she said exactly that. She said that when parents and other young women watch women get treated this way in Parliament, how do you then make a case for them to push through and seek to be in those positions? And why it's so important to call it out when it does happen. Because sexism, whether overt or subtle, does sort of, it has a knock-on effect. It what you see acted out by your leaders and by those in authority inevitably then translates on the ground as well. So we're talking essentially about an exchange between the Speaker of the House and female MPs and how essentially it feels like an incident of discrimination, of sexism. And we'd like to know what you think. What do you make of the Speaker of Parliament telling female MPs to keep quiet? Call 77332900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we'll be discussing this further with Ding Jo Ann from the Centre for Independent Journalism. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're discussing an incident that happened in Parliament earlier this week where the Speaker of the House, Azhar Harun, essentially told three female MPs to keep quiet. And so that's what we're looking at today, this question of sexism in Parliament. Let us know, what do you make of this? What do you make of the Speaker telling female MPs to keep quiet? Call us, 77332900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Ding Jo Ann, advisor at the Centre for Independent Journalism, to discuss this further. Jo Ann, thank you for joining us today. What were your initial thoughts on the way the Speaker responded to both Segambut MP Hannah Yeo and Batu Kawan MP Kasturi Pato when they requested for an extension of the sitting?
Well, the first thing that came to mind actually was, thank goodness Parliament is now televised and we can see for ourselves what goes on inside the House. And it wasn't always the case. People had to lobby for a long time for Parliament proceedings to be telecast live. So it reminded me how important it is for the public to have access to government proceedings and information held by the government, because in order to hold our leaders to account, there needs to be transparency so we can see what they are doing. The second thing I thought of was, not again. Women have been repeatedly belittled and ridiculed in Parliament, from Baling MP asking YB Kasturi Pato to pakai bedak, to YB Tajuddin talking about the only woman with a cock in Parliament, to the infamous Bocho remarks. Women have been belittled time and time again in Parliament. It's not just that it's rude, it's that it sends a message to society about the importance or the non-importance that we place on what women say in the legislature. Our women MPs were all elected to the Dewan Rakyat, probably against great odds, and they have as much right to sit there and to speak as male MPs. They should not be belittled and asked to keep quiet in this manner. And it is especially galling when we saw just a couple of days ago the Speaker being harangued and called names by male MPs, and no such behaviour or language emanated from him. I mean, yes, he is human, as are we all, but why the difference in the reaction? And the third thing I felt actually was, I felt angry. YB Hannah was making a valid point, requesting for more time for the government to move a motion so that more time can be given for the minister to answer about vaccines, a really, really important point. The Speaker not just cut her off, he also failed to acknowledge her point. So that leaves me to question whether he was even listening to what she had to say.
And Joanne, as you rightly point out, right, we have seen these incidents in the past on how female MPs are addressed within the hall, mostly in terms of how other MPs speak to them. Is it significant, therefore, that this time we're seeing the tone coming from the Speaker?
Yes, it is significant. How the Speaker behaves is extremely important in setting the standard and maintaining the dignity of the House. And his attitude towards women sets an example for everyone. I mean, he is, after all, in charge of enforcing the standing orders that prevent sexist comments against women. Women are grossly underrepresented in Parliament. Only about 14% are women in our Dewan Rakyat, and only 11% in our state assemblies. So one of this is due to political and cultural bias towards women and the perception that women are perhaps less qualified than men to be lawmakers. So women have to face this political culture when they enter the political sphere, and they can be seen as intruding into a male-dominated space. About 100 years ago, actually, when women MPs were first admitted into the UK Parliament, Winston Churchill was said to have remarked, "When a woman entered the House of Commons, I felt like a woman had entered my bathroom and I had nothing to protect myself with except a sponge." This is 100 years later, and some of our male politicians are still behaving as if they need to protect themselves from women MPs invading a space they believe to be their own. Now, this is something that we cannot tolerate. And it is the Speaker who must set that example above all others to ensure that women are given their due place and respect in Parliament. And he should not be perpetuating negative stereotypes that women should just keep quiet.
Right. So stereotypes is one thing, but in your view, is this sort of behavior discriminatory?
Yes, this incident cannot be seen in isolation. It must be seen in the light of our whole political culture. Women make up 50% of our population, but consist of only 14% of our legislature. So women face multiple challenges in entering political office, one of which is the challenge of men or public or society treating you like you don't belong in the seat that you were elected to. So telling a woman MP, "Will you just be quiet," reinforces the notion that women don't belong in politics. And that is the exact opposite of the truth. Women MPs such as YB Hana, YB Kasturi, and so many others have distinguished themselves time and time again by their intelligence, competence, and dedication to their jobs. Sometimes it's not even something consciously done by, you know, this discriminatory behavior. You know, have you ever been in a meeting and given a comment or asked a question only to have a man say the exact same thing only a moment later? And you're like, "Hang on, didn't I just say that? Like, was I dreaming?" So it's not that people don't understand what you said. It's just that our societal conditions are such that some people are just more used to tuning into a man's voice and paying more attention or placing more importance in what they say. So this is kind of an unconscious discriminatory behavior that is often seen in our society.
And does behavior like this have a wider negative impact beyond Parliament?
Absolutely. It reinforces negative stereotypes about women and their place in society, which, as I said, should be debunked. So many of our women MPs have outperformed their male counterparts, and they absolutely belong in Parliament. And we must ensure that more women are elected in the future. I hope that it will also have a wider positive impact. The fact that this became such a big issue shows that people understand this is not appropriate behaviour. And many have also pointed out the gender elements of such behaviour. And I hope that incidents such as these will spur the public to push for electoral reform and other structural reforms to ensure better gender representation in our Parliament.
So what role does Parliament play in advancing or platforming gender equality?
It can play a huge role. Well, the MPs themselves, they are the people's representatives, and they should be an example for all of us. Like it or not, people look to them. When MPs break SOPs, people take notice, people care, people feel it's unfair, you know, antara dua darjat and so forth. So MPs must be at the forefront of promoting gender equality and not the other way around. There are also parliamentary select committees. So there's a parliamentary select committee on women, and they have a lot of power, actually, when parliament is sitting, that is, and not suspended. And they can summon witnesses and they can study topical issues, and they can look at the issue, for example, of why there is so little gender, there's such an unequal gender representation in parliament. They can look at issues like this. Parliament also, as the legislature, is entrusted with passing laws to ensure gender equality. So we are still waiting for the Sexual Harassment Act to be passed and the anti-stalking law, which are apparently on the cards. But this has all been pushed back because Parliament was suspended. We also need a Gender Equality Act to ensure that women are legally protected from discrimination. And so these are some of the things that Parliament can do.
So this incident in particular has caught a lot of attention. How do you think we can respond constructively to events like this?
Well, this incident is not an isolated one. It reveals a systemic problem of underrepresentation of women in politics and a bias against women in politics. So this must change, and we must advocate for reform to ensure that women have their due place in politics and to ensure that more women are elected into parliament. When women make up only 14% of the House, it is easy to treat them as outsiders. We must increase that figure to be more representative of our reality. So one of the ways, actually, is we need to reform our electoral system. Most of the electoral systems in the world where women, and not only women, but also youth and perhaps environmental parties or other minority parties are better represented are those which use proportional representation with a party list system. So, for example, in New Zealand, they changed their electoral system in 1993 from first past the post to a proportional representation system. And the women's representation went up from 21% in 1993 to 48.3% in 2020. These are the kinds of statistics that we want. We want women to constitute at least half of the legislature and not just a small, tiny proportion. So parties also have their role to play. They can institute, for example, all women shortlists for certain constituencies to ensure that that women are elected to parliament, and they must provide sufficient training for women, training in communication, in policy making, in campaigning, and they must stand up for them when they are attacked, whether online or in person. They must speak up for gender equality. So I hope that this will spur reform, and not just we just complain and say, oh, this is such bad behavior, but that we actually take this somewhere and to ask ourselves, why are there so few women in parliament, and why is it that they keep getting talked down to all the time? This must change.
Joanne, thank you for speaking with us today. That was Ding Joanne, advisor at the Center for Independent Journalism, weighing in on really an exchange between the Speaker of the House in Parliament and two female MPs, where he essentially told them to keep quiet as they tried to put forward questions. And many have criticized this as being sexist, and we'd like to hear from you. What do you make of the Speaker of Parliament telling female MPs to keep quiet? Call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and we're getting lots of messages and opinions from you. Let's start with this one from Ro.
So Ro says, while I agree with a generally distasteful discourse in Parliament, both racist and sexist, I feel that Tolong Diam is stretching it a little in the context of it being purely sexist. It is impolite regardless. Parliamentary sittings are painfully out of order in general and seem highly unproductive. Something ought to be done to penalise that overall raucous and unproductive behaviour, maybe yellow and then red cars. So I think, Ro, I can totally see where you're coming from in the context of Parliament being Parliament, and therefore the tone generally not being what you would necessarily like to hear or what you would expect to hear. I think for me, though, in terms of having done the reports on Parliament throughout the week, what stands out to me is that actually, I've heard male MPs yell at the speaker and not be told to diam. And in the context of the three female MPs, actually, who asked the question, if you watch the clip in its entirety, they were incredibly polite. Mm-hmm. You know, the tone was very, very polite, very respectful, and they were told, in essence, to be quiet. And so for me, I think that's where perhaps it's not purely sexist, but I think that there is an element of that in there.
And this is actually the challenge, I think, when it comes to calling out sexism, right? Because it isn't always as obvious as a unsavory remark about menstruation. Sometimes it is a larger pattern of behavior, a tone of voice, essentially where you respond to men or talk to men differently versus how you might talk to a woman. And in this case, I think that's what so many people are picking up on and making a note of. We might have time for just one message. I wanted to read this from Maggie, who says, I think Lynn might want to use the word condescending for the speaker's tone in addition to plain rudeness. But I often wonder if there was any occasion where male MPs had stood up for their female MPs, regardless of the ruling party or the opposition. To all mothers out there, please educate your sons to respect their female counterparts.
Maggie, thanks for the suggestion. I will take it on with relish because I think condescending is a great word to describe it. Also, I think it goes beyond respecting female counterparts, right? But also supporting verbally, because it's one thing to respect them. It's one thing to think, oh, yeah, you deserve to be here. And quite another to see a moment of disrespect and be an ally, I suppose, or participate in it.
Keep those thoughts coming. What do you make of the speaker telling female MPs in Parliament this week to tolong diam? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.